This week on the College Football Roundup, Indiana makes a statement. Texas conquers the Red River. Michigan gets humiliated and so much more. This is the Monday Report starting now. All right. Hello, everybody. It is Monday, October 13th, 2025, and this is the College Football Roundup. I'm your host, H. James K., and today we have got a whole truckload of stuff to talk about. I know the big story of the weekend was Penn State firing James Franklin, have no fear. That episode is also coming out today. I decided, much like with the Mike Gundy firing, to put out a special episode with that one, so that look for that one to come out a little bit later today, probably 15 or 30 minutes after this episode came out. Either way, we got to talk about Indiana, Texas, Michigan. Oh, Michigan. So disappointing. And a whole bunch of other stuff. So right off the top, Indiana defeated number 3 Oregon in Eugene, Oregon, 30-20. This game is... wow. I thought the towering highs that Indiana reached last year were crazy. Well, you can't say they haven't beaten anybody this year, because they sure as shit beat Oregon this year. Goodness gracious. Fernando Mendoza. That kid is so good. He only had like 215 yards against Oregon, but he is just so poised and so accurate. And Kurt Cignetti is just... he is such a good coach. Whoever hires him away from Indiana for the 2026 season and beyond is going to be very happy, because, man, he's so good. I mean, Indiana, it cannot be understated that Indiana is the worst team in the history of the Big Ten. They have one of the lowest win percentages in all of major college football. They are a historically mediocre football team. But with Sig, wow, they are just... you don't want any part of that smoke. I don't want that smoke. Mm-mm. Getting the crap beat out of me by Wisconsin, not Wisconsin, by USC, that's one thing. But getting pulverized by this Hoosiers team, Michigan don't want that. Mm-mm. Nope, 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 nope. So, Indiana is one of the top teams in the country, and I never thought I'd say that. I have them as number 3 in my top, I think number 3, number 3 in my top 25. It's crazy. And I mean, I never thought I'd say that. I keep saying that, but like, holy crap, Indiana is like a contender. Now, for Oregon, they'll be back. They'll bounce back. They'll be fine. They've already beaten Penn State, which I know that's not super impressive now, because Penn State is currently hurtling towards the ground with like a plane with its tail on fire. But still, Oregon's resume did take a serious blow with the collapse of Penn State and the firing of James Franklin, but they will have their chances. They'll keep on winning, and they'll probably get to match up against Indiana or Ohio State again in the Big Ten championship game. So they'll be fine. All right, moving on, we've got to talk about the Red River Shootout. Boy, this was a mediocre game. So, unranked Texas beat... oh, I forgot to mention, Indiana was like number 7 in the country going into the Oregon game. I should have said that, but I forgot. Unranked Texas defeated number 6 Oklahoma 23-6. Now, the big storyline coming into this game was the fact that John Mateer broke a bone in his thumb and he'd had to have surgery, and it was unclear whether or not he would get to play. Well, he got to play, but whether he should have played is a topic for discussion. He was noticeably diminished compared to his normal form. He was inaccurate. He didn't run the ball well. He didn't throw the ball well. There were times where his thumb was seen bleeding. You could tell he was in a lot of pain every time he got hit. It was just Michael Hawkins, their backup QB, should have played. He should have. John Mateer was a hindrance. He wasn't an asset, because the offense didn't function with him as quarterback. So, I understand why he forced himself to be back, but that was not the play. It should have been Michael Hawkins. Because you know what? You're going to you lose, but at least your quarterback isn't battered and bruised after playing mediocre. I mean, Mateer was so bad. So bad. All right, on to Texas, though. Arch Manning, he didn't play like a fried turd, but he played okay. I mean, he was aight. He really took command in the fourth quarter, but this was an ugly game. This game was so bad for so long, and it kind of broke open late. But I mean, it's just, this was a game about defense. The Oklahoma defense did their absolute damnedest to keep Oklahoma in the game, even though John Mateer threw three picks. Or I know he threw two, but he might have thrown a third, and he was just bad. And for the Texas defense, boy, they harassed John Mateer all day. Their pass rush was everywhere. Their secondary was super opportunistic. It was impressive, because Oklahoma, I mean, they were the number six team in the country. They're great, and they looked bad. So this was a much needed win for Texas. Now Texas, I have them ranked in my own personal top 25, but I don't know if they got back in the top 25 poll. They might have, but they're still like 4-2. But this was a huge win for Texas, and it was a disappointment for Brent Venables, who kind of sort of lands himself back on the hot seat. I mean, yeah, the first several weeks were great, but that loss to Texas was bad. All right. Now we got to talk about Michigan. The USC Trojans absolutely thrashed Michigan 31-13. I'll just come out and say it. USC was the more talented team. They were the better coach team, the better prepared team. They were the more physical team, the more disciplined team. They were better in every way. There isn't a single thing Michigan did better than USC. Michigan didn't run the ball better. They didn't defend the run better. They didn't pass the ball. Defend the pass. Special teams was worse. Coaching was worse. Everything was worse. USC was just better. And USC, that third string QB of theirs, I think his name is like King something or something King. That dude's a beast. He went off against Michigan. And Michigan has a solid defense, or so we thought. I don't know if they have a solid defense, because the first elite offense they played the second elite offense they played embarrassed them. But that, and we got, all right, and that QB, Jaden Maiava, that QB of theirs, that kid is talented. Yeah, he was held under 300 yards passing, but he was really good. Really, really good. And Makai Lemon and all their pass catchers. One of their guys caught this absolutely insane, like, back shoulder touchdown in the end zone with coverage all over him as he's falling down. It was impressive. They were just so good. And their defense was just bullied Michigan all day. So that was USC. And Lincoln Riley, you played a tough game, you called a good game, and kudos. You finally got a signature Big Ten win. You know, clap it up for him. Clap it up for him, because they earned it. They earned the flowers. But now we got to talk about Michigan. So Michigan's defense was putrid. They were just horribly undisciplined. So it was clear from the onset that Wink Martindale's biggest concern was getting beaten over the top, getting beat deep. So what did they do? They dropped everyone into coverage and gave everyone a 15-yard cushion and said, "You are not going to defeat us deep." Well, there's just one problem with that. USC's game plan to thwart Michigan's pass rush was to throw tunnel screens and bubble screens all the live long day. Tunnel screen, 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 run, tunnel screen, tunnel screen, tunnel screen, tunnel screen, over and over and over and over. Oh my God, they ran screens until my eyes were bleeding. And what did Michigan defensive coordinator Wink Martindale do to adjust? Absolutely fucking nothing. Not a damn thing. He stopped blitzing as much, but it didn't help. If anything, he gave up 20. Their Michigan gave up 24 points. I think it was 24. No, 17 points in the second half. And 14 in the first half. And even beyond the pass defense, Michigan's usually good gap integrity on defense, everyone staying in their gap and keeping contain, that just went out the window. Michigan's linebackers and safeties and corners, I know they're young and inexperienced, but oh my God, their gap discipline was putrid. Horrible. It was the worst gap integrity on defense I've seen a Michigan defense have since, wow. I mean, you got to go back to like Rich Rod, like 2010. I mean, it's the worst Michigan defensive performance I have seen personally in over a decade. They were horrible. They didn't do anything. And yeah, there were those two games against Ohio State back in like 18 and 19. Yeah, that's whatever. This was different. That was a superior team just being better and a scheme not being able to have. This was so much worse than that, because on a fundamental level, Michigan could not or would not do the things required to play even mediocre defense. Open field tackling, forget about it. Short passing defense, nope, doesn't exist. Gap integrity in the run game, what does that mean? It was bad. Michigan's defense got two red zone turnovers. Otherwise, the game would have been fucking 45-13. But it didn't matter. And now, we got to talk about the Michigan offense. Man, it's just frustrating. Michigan's offensive line coach, Grant Newsom, should be fired. Like, today. Fired. Fired, fired, fired. Fired! You're gone. Michigan's offensive line play is not up to the standard set in the last several years. Michigan is known for a good offensive line play. They've been bad. They were bad last year, and they're bad this year. And you can't say they're not recruiting well. They're recruiting great offensive linemen. We've seen these guys. Greg Crippen, we've seen him be good. Horrible. Guanera was bad. Evan Link is awful. Nathan Afobe, forget about it. Andrew Sprague is mediocre. He shouldn't even be starting. He's so bad. Michigan's offensive line play was just abysmal. And as much as I stick up for Bryce Underwood, I would argue this is the worst game he's played. Because the game plan allowed him to throw the ball. But at the same time, there was a fade route that he just didn't put any air under on a two-point conversion, which I'll get to that later probably. But there was that one. He overthrew a deep shot in the first half. There was a deep shot to Donovan McCauley he overthrew. He rushed a throw to Samaj Morgan that landed at Morgan's feet. That was just really bad. There were times where he was short-arming throws because he didn't trust his protection. Times where he was bailing out of the pocket when he didn't need to. He threw an interception, his second on the year. He didn't fumble the ball, thank God, but I would argue it's the worst performance he's had. Because, man, it just didn't work. And the wide receivers, I'll give the wide receivers credit. Weren't any drops. No drops. First time all year, there were no drops. Not that I really noticed. But that doesn't mean they were winning in coverage, because they weren't. But at the same time, the wide receivers, I gave them a B-. The offensive line, I gave them a C-, D+. Quarterback play, if I had to give a grade, probably a B-, C+. They were okay. Running backs, I'm giving the running backs a B or a B plus. When Justice Haynes was out there, he had like 8 carries for like 54 yards. He was doing his thing. He was the whole Michigan offense at one point, and then he got hurt. And Jordan Marshall did his very best to pick up the load, and he busted off some great runs, and he had some good stuff in the pass game. The running backs did their part. It was everyone else. They did what they could. You can't expect them to do much when the offensive line won't block, and the quarterback can't throw the ball well, and the receivers can't catch. So, I'm not killing the running backs. But they did what they could do. The offensive game plan, it was okay. 3 passes on the opening drive was awful. But we have to remember this is a young team, so you can't just expect Bryce Underwood to be full-on, you know, junior J.J. McCarthy. That ain't happening. That ain't happening this season. Maybe next year. You can just trust the whole offense to Bryce Underwood. But it's clear that they don't trust him yet. And you know what? That's okay. He's young. But Michigan may have a Sherrone Moore problem. I know it was his game plan against Nebraska and against Central Michigan. But Biff Poggi was the head coach. And you know what? Michigan looked better than they've looked in every game that Sherrone Moore has coached. I mean, they play tight with Sherrone Moore on the sideline. Turtle shell, super conservative, no risks, no fire, no energy. And that's a Sherrone Moore problem. I know this is unfair, but Michigan, you got to beat Washington, you got to beat Ohio State. If you lose to Washington, you're definitely firing Sherrone Moore. If you beat Washington, you lose a close one to Ohio State, maybe he stays. If you get blasted by both Washington and Ohio State, you're done. Bye-bye. Because Michigan has too much talent, we can't afford to squander Bryce Underwood. So if you ain't going to do it, bye. Goodbye. We'll get someone else who can. Who can bring an actual coaching staff that can actually do their thing. Yeah. Kirk Cignetti, I doubt it, but I'd love that. But a real coach who can really recruit, who can actually develop players and has energy and can bring Michigan back to being Michigan. We've seen this. I got a taste of the good life. 2023, I want that feeling again. 22, I want that feeling again, even though it was heartbreaking at the end. Inject that shit into my veins. That's the standard at Michigan now. We are a playoff team. We are a team that wins Big Ten championships, beat Ohio State, and go to the playoffs. That's what Michigan is now. I'm not going to allow Michigan to... I don't want Michigan to backslide into mediocrity. Like, oh, we got 1-9 wins this year, banner year. We won the ReliaQuest Bowl. Fuck that. That's not Michigan. Michigan State can be happy with that. That's not Michigan football. Michigan football, we win championships at Michigan football. And if Sherrone Moore isn't that guy, then he's got to go. We can't wait for year 3 to be over. We can't wait for year 4. Now. So you got to... You know, Sherrone, you better fucking win. Win. You got to win. Because what happened against USC, that's on coaching. The players are talented. We've seen these players play well. Nothing they did against USC was good. Because that's on coaching. Sorry, that's the way it is. All right, that was super ranty. I'm sorry. I'll get the more positive vibes up. But it was just... It's been a bad weekend for Michigan sports. The Tigers just... Ugh. 15 innings only for Canely to give the game away in the 15th inning. And their bats were horrible. Michigan got embarrassed. At the time of recording this, I haven't seen how the Lions do. I'm expecting the Lions to lose because they're just a MASH unit right now. They're so injured. But either way, it's been a rough weekend, so give me some credit. Either way, next week, we got some good matchups coming next week. So Ole Miss is taking on Georgia. That game is going to have... I would argue that is the best week matchup of the weekend, and Game Day would agree with me because they're going to Athens. That's going to be a huge battle for the top of the SEC. I like Ole Miss in this one. I know Kirby wins these games, but The Lane train is going to keep on moving. I like it. I like the Rebels. I think they're going to win against Georgia. Because Georgia should have lost to Auburn. Auburn, boy, that side tangent real quick. The Auburn versus Georgia game that happened back on Saturday is one of the worst officiated games I've ever seen. So Auburn got a touchdown. It was ruled a fumble. It wasn't a fumble. Would have made the game 17-0 Auburn. That changes something. And there was another one. So in the red zone, play happens. Georgia calls a timeout during play. That should be a penalty. And the officials gave Georgia the timeout. And somehow Georgia was able to convince the refs that Kirby didn't signal for a timeout. So instead of it being a penalty, it was just like, okay, we'll do the play over again. Those two things affected the outcome of the game. Georgia should have lost to Auburn. And it might cost Hugh Freeze his job. So yeah, I'm thinking Ole Miss is going to win because I just think they're a better team than Georgia. This Georgia team is the most paper tiger of paper tigers. They don't put teams away well. They're sloppy. Their offense is just whatever it is. So I'm looking for Ole Miss to win that game. All right, moving on. LSU versus Vanderbilt. Can Vandy bounce back after a disappointing loss to Bama last week? This LSU team's got a solid defense. I'm still not super sold on Garrett Nussmeier. I think that's who their quarterback is. Not Garrett Nussmeier. What am I saying? What's his name? I forget their name, their quarterback's name. Excuse me while I look it up. Either way, that game, I'm expecting a kind of low-scoring, slugging match kind of game from that one. From an emotional level, I want Vandy to win that game just because I think Vandy is such a good story. And admittedly, I love watching pimp swag Vandy on SEC shorts when they win. I think he's hilarious. So that's a thing. But the logical side of my brain says I think LSU is going to win. I like their defense is really good. Let's look it up. All right. Yeah, I was right. Oh, yeah, yeah. So Garrett Nussmeier is the quarterback for LSU, and he's okay, but he doesn't really light the world on fire. And even still, I like Vandy to win that game. Their defense is really good, and their offense is good enough to get the job done. And I like Vandy. I really do, but I don't know if they're up to it. Clark Lee is a really good coach, and Diego Pavia is a really good QB, but I'm not super sold on their chances against LSU. All right, a huge rivalry game. We got number 23 Utah taking on number 15 BYU at BYU. This is a huge heated rivalry called the Holy War. For those of you who don't know, BYU is a school run by the Church of Latter-day Saints, Mormons. Utah is not. They are in the same state, but they are a secular university, even though there's a lot of Mormons at Utah as well. And this game is called the Holy War. Heated rivalry, gone on for a long time. It kind of ended for a while because Utah left the Mountain West Conference where they were with BYU for the Pac-12, and then from the Pac-12 to the Big 12. But BYU joined the Big 12, so now the Holy War is back. And that huge Big 12 implications. This is like 6-0 versus 5-1. Huge. Winner of this game probably goes to the Big 12 championship game. And hell, they might rematch in the Big 12 championship game if they keep on winning. So, massive game. Massive, massive, massive for that team. Now, the last game I want to talk about, Michigan versus Washington. Michigan needs to beat Washington. But I'm not super hopeful because Jed Fish is a good coach and their QB, Demond Williams Jr., that kid is so good. Now, I do expect Michigan, excuse me, my voice was failing me there. I do expect Michigan to have a better game defensively than against USC because just that USC offense is ridiculous. They're so talented. very reminiscent of like prime Caleb Williams, Lincoln Riley stuff, like fireworks show. I'm hoping the Michigan defense is a little bit better. We'll see. If they bounce back, cool. Then Michigan's goals are still in front of them. If they lose, then, I mean, you're in fire, Sharon Moore watch. You're out and you're hoping he can beat Ohio State to save his job, because I did this song and dance last year and it was just, it wasn't fun. So Michigan absolutely needs to beat Washington next Saturday. My Michigan homer self says Michigan wins ugly, but my logical brain says Michigan loses. Damon Williams, he's so good. He's so good that Ohio State's vaunted defense dedicated extensive resources to stopping him from running the ball. So, yeah. By the way, that Ohio State defense is disgusting. They're so good. So, so good. But, yeah, so that's the looking forward. So, next week, we're going to get more of the same. I hope there is no more firings, because you hate to see guys lose their job. But I did a whole video on James Franklin losing his job, so you can look at that episode later on. Hopefully next week we don't get any more of that. Either way, I'm going to be here with another edition of the College Football Roundup. For those of you listening on Apple Podcasts and everywhere else that podcasts are available, thank you, thank you, thank you. Please leave a like, if a review, or a review if possible. Subscribe if you can. Spread the word. Help the podcast grow. For those of you watching on YouTube, thank you, thank you, thank you. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the bell icon, and leave a comment, which really helps with the algorithm. God, I was trying to find that word. I just couldn't find it. I have yet to get a comment, so I'd love a comment. Just anything. Hello. Say hello. Cool. Either way, my name is H. James K. Thank you all for tuning in. Until next time.